lady found it, but it's all good. So tonight we have Jack Earp here. Can everybody hear us? Yeah, okay. He's going to speak for us. His sober date is 2/13 of 2012. Here he is, ready to go. All right, thank you, Jack.
There we go. How's everybody? I guess if I can look at myself, it'd be...
No, my eyes
are
doing that. Sorry. There you go.
Okay. And there's the Snickers.
Here, hold on.
That looks like my
There you go. There you are.
Hey, hi, everyone. I'm Jack. I'm an alcoholic. I've never done this before, so it's new to me. I don't play with my phone or anything like that, so this Zoom thing's kind of new. Just give you a little past history of my life. Grew up in Tulare. Went to two different schools there. Went to Sundale. Went to Tulare Union High School, went with Barbara most of my life through school. We were always friends. Played a lot of sports. Was not a bad athlete through the years that I played. Played in the college and I wrestled and played football in college. Tulare Union High School was fun, but because I always hung out with the older people, it seemed like that was one of the things about drinking and drugs was, I know it's not a NA meeting, but that's just part of our story with the age group that we were in, I think. I played football, baseball, wrestled, and with all of those came alcohol, and my first drunk was a friend of mine that I played baseball with. I think Barbara may have been at that party. He was in the eighth grade and was at Chris Malakas' house. And we end up polishing off. Well, they didn't. I did. We had a fifth of vodka. And the funniest thing was about halfway through it, everybody started going to sleep after everybody left the party. And all my friends, the male friends that stayed, they started getting tired and going to bed. Well, there's still a half a bottle left, so of course that must have been my first idea, that waking up outside in the flower bed after finishing off the bottle was probably the first remembrance of what alcoholism probably was, because I liked it, I enjoyed it, and so I indulged in it. Through high school, same thing, always hanging with the older people. So that just came along with all the alcohol and everything came along with it. In college, same thing. You know, I never missed work. I worked with my dad. He had his own business. I had my family that I had a very supportive family that, my mom didn't even let us have beer in the house, you know, more or less a bottle of, she may have had a bottle of whiskey in the cabinet for, being sick or, you know, the old timers give you lemon and honey and whiskey. I always liked that too when she would give us that. I would always ask for more. And, because that was another sign of what I like to do. Where'd Ken go? I seen Ken, Hawaiian Ken in there. I gotta say hello before I forget, because I'll always love Hawaiian Ken. He just, I miss all of them. And hello, Ken, how are you? Through all of my endeavors going into the military and everything, I was that person that was always helped. You know, there's people that get a lot of tickets and there's a lot of people that get in trouble. Well, I did get in a lot of trouble and I didn't get no tickets, because most of the cops I knew, I lifted weights with, or they'd come to football games or stuff. The time I'd get caught, they would tell me, they would take my beer, and then they tell me later that they would take the beer and then take it home, and then that was their beer that they got to drink. I just laughed. But, you know, it's just one of those things that I was just fortunate. You know, God was always, you know, I know it's a spiritual program, and my higher power is God. I do get up every day and say my prayers. I know I'm jumping all over the place, so just stay with me. I say my prayers, and I say, read my daily reflection in the morning every day. And I sit there and meditate with myself for a few minutes to get my day going. And at the end of the night, I do the same thing before I go to bed. I say a prayer. I think about the people and if I wrong somebody. And usually it's my sister that I get mad at. I always have to go make an amends to because she pisses me off sometimes. But you know what? I do go make those amends. And, but I try not to say I'm sorry too much because, you know, that's kind of a I got you. If you have to keep back and going back and saying I'm sorry, because I don't think that that's the right thing to do in your life when you're being sober and reading the big book and you're being taught to live the life of an alcoholic with alcoholics and Alcohol Anonymous. You know, I started the program 2013 at 12. It took me about a month to get a sponsor, and my sponsor, my first sponsor, because I had three of them, was Holden, and it was just ironic that Holden, when I picked him the first time, his sobriety date was exactly the same day as my sobriety date, and I didn't know that until after we were having a meeting together. He said, he asked me when I got sober, and I told him. He started laughing. He said, well, that's ironic. He said, because the years before, that's the same day that I started my sobriety. But that day, he got sick. That didn't work out. So my next sponsor was Bill, Mr. Bill H. And he gave me some good advice. But at that time in my sobriety, I was not ready for other people to guide me. I shouldn't say to tell me what to do, but to guide me. I wasn't ready for someone else, especially somebody younger than me that I knew from high school, to be telling me what I needed to be doing. And so it took me a little while to be hard-headed. And then I tried to stay away from Bill for like 3 weeks. I think it was 3 weeks that I didn't talk to him. And finally, I got the nerve up to tell him, you know what, I'm going to have to find a different sponsor. And he said, well, why did you... You know, I remember him saying, well, why did you wait 2 weeks? I wouldn't have got mad or anything. He said, that's just the way Alcoholics Anonymous is. And I started laughing because I put myself through the torture of all of this worrying and everything because I was going to hurt somebody's feelings. And maybe, you know, just being having that fearful and the fear of my friend, it was my own fear. It wasn't Bill or anybody else. It was my own fear and one of my shortcomings that I needed to learn how to deal with people. And so in turn, I have my third sponsor now, and this is Greg G. He's from Porterville, and I've been through the steps with him. I talk to him when I need to talk to him. I do a lot of things. I usually go to one meeting a week with him, but as of right now, with everything that's going on in the world, I don't get to see him as much as I like, so I still call him, especially if I get to the point, you know, when you need help, sometimes you call. You pick up the phone and you talk to somebody, because even you don't have to call your sponsor. You can call anybody you like, and you can... really, really get a lot of relief from people if you just call and ask for help, because the people are out there. You know, it's been almost 9 years since I drank, and it's not because of me. It's because the other people around me that I can have trust in. So when I do, you know, the surging urges, you know, that hot summer day, that the walking by somebody and seeing them and talking to yourself and saying, well, why can't I do that? You know, and all you have to do is remember that the reason you can't do that is because you like it too much. Because I like to drink. So when I like to drink, in turn, it turns into lots of drinks. And I was that type of person that I had friends when I asked I went to a rehab through the company that I worked for, and the guy that ran the Teamsters Union, at the time I was the president of the Teamsters Union with and worked with this guy, and we would go to dinner and everybody would drink and have be social, and you called it social drinking, but I just called it, as I learned more about it, I was a social drunk. I wasn't very social. You know, even though I was a happy drunk, you know, when you get to the end of the night, all of us have been down that road. If you're a true alcoholic, in my opinion, is we've had that depressing, dry me in that dark room when you go home and get by yourself, you know. A little bit about my life. I have two wonderful kids. I had a beautiful wife for 16 years, for 18 years, matter of fact, but the last year of it was not nice, because that's when I found out she was doing things that she shouldn't have been doing, and that's why I asked for a divorce. It caused me a lot of grief for about 6 months, and that's when I started drinking again, and I drank for 6 years every day. I didn't drink for 18 years, so that can kind of tell you that when I got married, I made up my mind, and I white-knuckled it all them years because I never asked for no help, and we didn't keep alcohol in the house. Then when I started coaching, I did all the fun things. I coached youth football. I coached high school football. I coached wrestling. I coached baseball. I worked two jobs, sometimes three jobs, so we would have a happy family, and she decided she liked other men, and it caused me to revert back to the thing that made me the most comfortable at the time, and that was drinking. And when I started drinking, I did stop. I think the 6 years in drinking, if I can tell you one day that I didn't drink, you know, made at least one beer, two beers a day, and most of the time when we got drunk, when I drank with my friends and stuff that I worked with, everybody else would go home with their families. I would be the one that would stay out drinking till 2 or 3 in the morning and have to be to work at 4 or 5 in the morning driving a truck. So you can imagine, for 6 years, I was out there not only putting my own life in danger, I was putting your family, you, and everybody else that I was around in danger, and I could care less. You know, that was my attitude. I could care less. I put on that good facade with everybody, you know, that, oh, Jack's okay. You know, I wasn't okay. You know, but I didn't know how to ask for help. I didn't know who to go to for help. Because I was the one at the union hall that when people would call and say, I need to go to a rehab, I was the one that would pick them up and take them to the union hall, set them up with the program, and we would ship them off. So when I had to walk in or call my friend at the union hall and tell him, hey, I need to get a hold of the rehab because I have a problem. He said, well, who are you bringing? I said, well, I'm bringing myself. And that was hard. That was very hard when you have to bring yourself and come to the realization that you're the one that needs the help. So that was my journey. But like I said, I have two beautiful children. I have a wife that, or ex-wife that I have a good relationship with today. Tomorrow's Thanksgiving. Tomorrow I'm going to sit with my daughter, my grandkids, and my ex-wife and her new husband that she cheated on me with. And that's who she's married to now. And I get to go to Thanksgiving and sit in the same room with them. And you know what? I can deal with that. I can live with that, you know, because you know what? She was a good wife for 18 years, or 17, I should say. But she just didn't like, you know, it's what, one of my friends, he just passed away. You know, there was four of us when I came in to AA. And my one friend just got, he you guys know a lot of people. Thank you. had cancer. And I asked myself, why? Let me get a breath of air. At this point in my life, I got one friend that's still alive. I guess taking vanilla milkshakes. That's what he likes. And he got cancer real bad. And he's battling his own demons in his own house. And, you know, but I can take him a vanilla milkshake, and he's like the happiest guy in the world. I don't know how he does it, but he does. And then my other friend, the other one that came into this program, it's all the miracles that take place. You know, Bobby was 9 years sober. He had 2 weeks more than me, and he always reminded me that I was never going to catch him. You know, and I guess I'm not going to now because, you know, he'll always have that 2 weeks on me, you know, but you know what? Don't make me want to go drink. You know, when he passed away, it made me sad, and I'll miss him. But you know what? He's in a good place because when he left this life, he was sober. He was the most happiest I'd ever seen him. And I grew up with him. I'm talking, we went from the three of these, really all four of the guys that I came into AA with was in 6 months of each other that we grew up, we played out. Pop Warner, we played high school, we played football and college together. And, you know, that three out of the four, I got to do all those things. And then Bill, my other good friend, got to save his life on that Rule 62 on a Thursday night. We were putting the chairs away and I thought he fell down. Well, he didn't fall down. He had a heart attack and he was dead. Laying on the floor, and I'm the one that had called and got him meeting, and because we were at that meeting, the doctor told him that saved his life, because if he had been at home, nobody else would have knew what to do, and so I got to do CPR on him, and, you know, oh, Doc, he was sitting there, you know, it's ironic, God puts us in certain places, because How do you go to a meeting? You're there with somebody that knows how to, that's registered and knows how to do CPR. And when you're in the meeting, you're sitting next to a doctor and you have a heart attack and fall down when you're putting chairs down, and the doctor and me get to do CPR. And we had some nurses that were there that were able to keep the crowd under control. We had people that started praying, and you know, the next day Bill woke up and he asked the doctor if he could go play golf, and because he's a very avid golf player. And I thought, oh my gosh, I went over to see him, and he said, Jack, I didn't see the white room, but I remember you were kissing me or something. And I said, well, I wasn't kissing because I didn't give you no tongue. And but in turn, he always reminds me that, you know, I'll be special to him the rest of his life. Which we were all special to each other when we came into this program, because with all the people that we love and all the people that we've met that have our same problem, even if we did, I'm not saying I will or I did or anything like that, but even if we did go out drinking, I know I could walk back into the room, because it's so exciting to me when I see somebody that's messed up and they have the courage to come back and get back in the room. You know, because I'm lucky I'm one of them guys as of right now that I've never had the relapse. But I see my friends that do relapse, that we go and we get to enjoy their company when they come back. And you can just see that it's almost like shame on their face. But when they come there and they know we're not judging them for what they did, the smile comes back. You know, the smile comes back to your face. The people come back. The people say, come back. They give you hugs. They don't judge you. They don't judge you. You know, and that's one of the things I say in prayer every day is, God, please let me be non-remorseful, judgmental of others. I do that every day because, you know, how judgmental we really get every day if you think about when you're doing stuff, you know. And I catch myself today, because I say that prayer, when I start judging somebody, somebody's working on me in a mysterious way that makes me think about, you know what, I shouldn't be doing that. You know, and before I could care less.
you know what, I, you know, we talk about each other, we say things about each other. But you know what, I don't get that when I see people in AA. I don't see people gossiping, and everything. You know, I mean, it happened, probably happened, but you know what? I don't see it. I don't see it myself. I tend to ignore it. I don't, you know, or if somebody is being too, judgmental, I'll tell them. Where before, I'd let them do it. So where today, my sister says, how come you always say stuff to me like that? I said, because when I hear you saying things that I don't like, I would expect you to do the same to me if you hear me saying something to somebody that shouldn't be said. Tell me about it, because that only helps us have a better relationship with the person, and it makes us a better person. So the miracles in this, you know, I have a family today. I got two new grandbabies. My daughter had twins. They'll be four on the 18th of January, and I get to spoil them, and then I get to send them home. And that's pretty nice. But I miss them. I'm so fortunate because they did live in Georgia and now they live in Tehachapi. So it's only an hour and 30 minutes away and I can go see them whenever I'd like. And they're so beautiful. You know, it's just so beautiful to have grandchildren and to see your children growing up. I have a son that's in the Navy. He's got almost 10 years. I got a son-in-law that's got 18 years in the Air Force. Real funny, went to Georgia to visit them not too long ago, and they were trying to hide the liquor when I came in the house. They was putting the moonshine that they had, this and that, and I had to pull my daughter aside and tell her, you know, you don't have to hide your liquor because I'm here. See, I don't drink because I know what it does to me, and I don't drink. You should not change your life to suit my life. You live your life, and then if you end up having a problem, then call me. That's the whole thing about this program. But if you can handle your liquor and you can handle whatever you do in life and it's not causing you problems, then probably you're not an alcoholic, because most alcoholics I know that drink too much, we end up having problems and creating problems. I'll get back on the steps of the program. I went through the steps, with my sponsor. I think Bill, at one point, he had me start the first step, but, you know, I didn't want nobody telling me what to do, so I wasn't going to do no first step or anything like that, you know. I've had two or three, four people that I raise my hand that I will be a sponsor if you'd like for me to sponsor you. But I guess they didn't like me because I asked them to do stuff, so they decide they go back out. And that's fine because I'm there. If they want to come back and ask me again, I would raise my hand again and tell them I'll be your sponsor. And I would try to help you if I could. But, you know, I will say this too, though, because we're all alcoholic and we like to use people with our alcoholism, when we drank and didn't drink. So if you are going to try to sponsor people out there, just be careful with what you do, because there is people out there that will try to, I've had one that tried to, abuse the system, if that's the way you want to put it. But it taught me a lesson. It taught me what to do and not to do the next time. But going through the steps with my sponsor, and I don't really can say that I've ever had that awakening. But the awakening to me for doing the steps is AA itself. You know, when I go somewhere and I see the smiling face on somebody, that's where I get my most joy. I know when I was in the rehab, we went through a lot of classes. We did a lot of different things. Everybody, but one of the things you had to do was go see this father, Rick. And everybody would come out of there and be all joyous, happy, joyous, and free. And so when it became, I thought, well, when is it going to be my turn to get to go in there? So they finally, my day finally came, and I went in there, and we started talking. Well, I already had the wall put up before I ever went to see this, because my ex-wife was Catholic, I was Protestant. And if you're a father, in my eyes, because of the Catholic Church, was you couldn't be, you couldn't be married. Well, this guy was married. He had kids. And he, so everybody called him Father Rick. And I thought, well, what, well, I didn't know that the Lutheran Church caused, you know, they use that terminology too, because I guess that they're a off part of what the Catholic Church used to be. So that's kind of what they, at least that's what they tell me. I don't, I'm not going to get too far into that. But I did understand, my wall was already up for this guy because you can't be a father and be married and have kids. So when I got in there talking to this guy, he was going to tell me all this stuff. And so I was going to tell him my stuff. And he finally, because of the stubborn person that I can be sometimes, I am. My sister tells me, other people tell me that, you know, I can be stubborn. And so this Father Rick, he told me, you're the stubbornest person I ever met. And I went, oh my gosh. He says, you might as well, you're not going to get out of this. You might as well just go back to your room, get on your knees and start praying in the bed because I can't help you. He said, I'm sorry, I can't help you. You need to just go back to your room. So I did, and when I walked out of there, I was pissed off. I said, and I told him, well, you're an asshole. I told that father that. I went, and then he started laughing, and I went back to my room. And lo and behold, I got on my knees, I read the Bible, and I started praying. And you know what? I started crying. I couldn't stop crying. I started understanding. But you know what? He didn't help me in the way that he helped them other people. But he got me to go back and say a prayer to God and to say something to get on my knees. You know, which I probably need to do more these days because usually I just sit in my chair, read my Bible, read my daily reflections. I don't get on my knees. But maybe I should get on my knees and pray every once in a while because you know what? The man above has helped me so much. The people here have helped me. But the man above is taking care of me. He watches over me. He leads me. And, I'm just trying to, okay, I'll tell Drunk Along because I don't know how much time I gotta keep going. So, but how much
time? 10 more minutes.
10 more minutes?
10 more?
Okay. So, well, I could tell you a story about me and Barb when we went to that party when we were young and all that, but I'm not gonna get into that because, you know. We everything was always fun. I mean, it was fun to enjoy life. It was fun to do those things, you know. And I'm not going to lie to nobody because I loved my drinking. I loved my partying. I loved the social aspect of it, you know. And but at the end, it wasn't social no more, and it hurt my body, hurt my brain, and I just couldn't do those things anymore. But I will, you know, when I was in the military, got put in jail 3 times. All 3 times, my first sergeant came and got me out of jail. And I remember the third time I got in trouble, he come and told me, he said, hey, Jack, they told me I needed to go get some help. So they put me on a 7-day program. And I didn't know nothing about AA at that time, you know. And, you know, they ask you, you know, more will be revealed as you go, you know. Because when I went through that 7-day program, I can't remember one thing about what they talked about. But, you know, I went to, after that, in 1990, I almost got fired from my job for some other types of alcohol use, and it was by guilt by association with other people. So be careful out there if you're still doing what you're doing, because you know you can get in trouble by doing stuff with other people, and then you get told, you know, get told on. So just be careful, because the best thing to do would be to just stop what you're doing. But those times were very enjoyable. I didn't get in trouble in the Army no more. I only had a few months left after that time when he told me he was leaving. And so I got to come home. But when I came home, the party and continued. I told my ex-wife, I got married 1988. I didn't drink, like I said, for almost, we would go to like functions for youth football, stuff like that. We may drink, but I didn't drink to excess. That was about the only partying that I did for the time we were married. I just don't understand when she did what she did to me. And Bobby told me one day, we was driving, because we went to a lot of meetings the first couple of years. I mean, with Bob, especially with Bobby, Bobby could hit 5, 6, 7 meetings. I don't know how he did it, but he would go from one, and he would have them wrote down, this one's at this, and this, and we leave as soon as we get out of this one, we make this one, and we would go do that, you know, on the weekends and stuff. And through the process, I got to retire out of the job that I worked on for 30 years. I got to get my contractor's license. My father always had a well drilling and pump business. I almost got in trouble with that, working without a license, because my mom and me thought we had the license. So I got mad. At that point, I was still just early on in sobriety, so I was still pissed at everybody and everything. And, you know, as a couple of years later, I thought, you know what? How bad could it be? So for you, this is kind of for you guys out there that are going to school, that when you get a degree, it don't say I got, oh, you're an A student on your degree. It says you got a degree. So the purpose of that, in my opinion, is to be aggressive towards your education, be aggressive towards what you're doing. And if you do the best you can and you get a D or a C, you did the best you can. And it's like when I finally went and took the, you know, what were they going to do to me when I took the contractor's test? Oh, I was so fearful of taking this test. It took me 3 times to get past it. But, you know, what were they going to do to me? Just charge me another $10 to take the test. But I was so fearful that I was going to fail that it took me 2.5 years to get up the nerve to go take the test. But it was just very unsensible to do. So, like, if you're out there and you're struggling with school or anything else, just keep going, because that's what, you know, you get a C or a D, you get a C or a D. Try to get a B the next time. But don't give up. Don't give up, because it's a wonderful, wonderful life when you get out there and get sober. Things become easier. Life gets harder, but things seem to come easier that's in life, you know. But the everyday in and out of life, you know, we still have the struggles. We still have the fears. We still have, but we learning how to deal with all those things. And that's what's so wonderful about this program. It teaches us how to live life on life's terms. It teaches us that if I read that book all the time, you know what? There's things that come out of that book that where'd that come from? Last time I read it, I didn't even see that part. It's just so amazing that I don't have the fear in my life today that I had 9 years ago. I don't have the fear in my life today. You know, my mom passed away. The 18th of this month will be, is 18. It'll be 1 year that she's been gone, and I lived with my mom and my father after I got divorced. And my mom said to me right before I went to rehab, she said, "You know, son, because I worked with my dad all my life on my days off." When my mom told me that day, she said, "You know, you're like that big giant rock," and she told me that rock's crumbling, and you know that's what really sent me to the rehab. Because when she said that to me, in 26 years where I worked, I missed 3 days worth of work. And she told me that day when I came home at 3 o'clock in the morning, drunk, stumbling through the house, she stopped me, and that's what she told me. And I was drunk, and I still remember her telling me that. You know, most time when you're drunk, you don't remember things. But you know what? God made sure I remembered that when she told me that. Because when I got up to go to work an hour later after sleeping for an hour, she said, "You know, I'm your mother, and I have that intuition." And I believe that moms do have that thing about they can tell when we're hurting. They can tell when we need help. And she told me, my advice to you is today is not to go to work. Because if you go to work, you're going to have bad. Something bad's going to happen. She said, the best thing I think you can do is go to get some help. So I waited till 8 o'clock, and I called my friend, and I asked him for help. And that was the fun. That started the wonderful life that I have today. I came back from that rehab to that Monday night meeting in Visalia at the teacher's hall. And that's where my three friends were sitting there. And I said, oh, I was just pulling my suitcase through. And they were having just started the meeting. And Greg, my sponsor today, runs that meeting. And I'll never forget, because Billy and Chris and Bobby were sitting in that meeting. And they said, well, I told them I was going home, and they told me, no, you're not going home. You're staying here with me. So the first night out of rehab, I went to a meeting like Pastor do. I did my 90 and 90. I got a lot of new friends. And, you know, if you're out there and you're fearful or the sponsor that you got, you know, if you're not comfortable with what's going on, it's okay to switch sponsors. I guarantee you that sponsor, if you switch, he will like you just the same as if you stayed with him. He's not going to demean you. He's not going to do none of that kind of stuff. If he's a true alcoholic, he will not do none of that stuff and get mad, because that's what people do that are not in this program. But the people in this program are there to love you. They're there to be your friend. And I love all of you guys. I think that should be about where I'm at on this presentation. It was an honor to be asked to get to come back and do this. I remember the first time that I came back, that I got to do this, was about 7 or 8 years ago. And I remember I couldn't even, you know what, to talk to you guys tonight and to sit here like this, even if we were in live in person, 2 years ago, I would have been stuttering. I would have been not knowing what to say. I would have been choked up. I would have been, all the things that I can think of right now that, you know, or if I was in high school, you can ask Bill. He was there with me, even though I was, I ran around and everything. But to get in front of people and talk to you, there's no way that I could do that without drinking. There's no way. Because I did. I went to a talent contest at the high school when I was in high school. And me and my friend, we got drunk up above in the little things there in the auditorium. And we made sure we had a couple pints of Kessler's stashed up there before we went to this talent contest. And I forgot what to say out there when we were doing our skit. I forgot. And oh, my gosh, it was crazy. But, you know, those things we do. And it makes us love everybody here. It makes us want to be happy, joyous, and free. And you know what? Today I can say that I am happy, joyous, and free. So, you know, love you guys all. Ken, wonderful, nice. It's nice to see you all. But, hey, Ken, nice to see you very much. Like I said, love you guys. I hope you can get something out of what I said. And enjoy your life and have a happy Thanksgiving and a good Christmas, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Jack. Can we have a round of applause for him?